Clark County Today Sports Podcast, February 9, 2024, Union hires state champion football coach, RPI explained, football scheduling, and NFL talk. Reporter Paul Valencia and sports administrators Tony Liberatore and Kale Pyland talk about high school sports and more. By Paul Valencia with ClarkCountyToday.com. Welcome back to the Clark County Today Sports Podcast. Perfect timing, right? We recorded this episode just an hour or so after Union announced that Steve Pine is the school's next football coach. You know, Steve Pine, the five-time Oregon State champion coach from Central Catholic. Pine resigned from Central Catholic to coach at Union? Wow! That was worthy of discussion. We also talk about the WIAA and RPI and how RPI is just something to get a conversation started. Nothing else. It is not used for seeding purposes towards state tournaments anymore. Oh, and then we talk high school football scheduling, with the news that Columbia River and Skyview are not scheduled to play each other in the fall of 2024. And, of course, we have Super Bowl talk. Not a fun matchup for our hosts. We don't care for these teams, but we will always celebrate the national sport of football. The podcast format is simple. Tony Liberatore of Vancouver Public Schools and Kale Pyland of Evergreen Public Schools give their thoughts, along with Clark County Today reporter Paul Valencia. Liberatore and Pyland are longtime sports administrators. And Valencia has been a sports reporter in the region for more than 20 years. We're always interested in subject ideas for a future podcast. Email us a subject idea. Send us your thoughts at paul.v@clarkcountytoday.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Valencia from Clark County Today. This is the Clark County Today Sports Podcast with Tony Liberatore from Fort Vancouver High School.
Good afternoon. Are we live?
Yeah, I guess okay. We are. Well, okay. I don't know about live, but we're
recording.
Well, we're live.
We're alive.
Not live to our
Hello,
listeners.
Hello, Clark County. Yeah.
Hello. It'll
Hello, Cleveland.
We're going to post this on Friday, which would be February 9th, but we are recording it on February 8th. But we also have Kale Pyland from Evergreen Public Schools.
Hey.
Hey. There he is. Hey, we.
Hey.
So, we're recording this podcast a little just right after some breaking news in Evergreen Public Schools, Kale. You guys have hired a new football coach at Union High School. He's not new to Northwest football fans, but Steve Pine, Central Catholic in Portland, five state championships in Oregon, has decided to come home because he's a Vancouver resident. So, he's going to coach at Union, and I got to ask Kale, how did that happen? How do you guys get Steve Pine to come from Central Catholic to Union High School?
Well, I don't know if we were the ones who made that happen. I think Steve had some, he was looking to, first of all, his wife works in our district.
Yes.
So, and I think there's some differences, in obviously private school retirement systems and the state retirement system and being able to pool some dollars there with his wife. I think Steve was just looking for a change and looking for a challenge. And, Union obviously has some very good history,
right.
But the last couple of years have been a little rough. So the program needs some love.
Yep. And shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Yep.
We are very happy to have Steve come over and wave his wand, right?
Yep. So we'll get back to Steve in a second, but I wanted to, I should remind folks of what we're going to be talking about here in this podcast. So we'll also get to the WIA and RPI and those type of rankings that they post on social media. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to revisit Columbia River and Skyview football because it appears that is no longer going to happen in that schedule. And, we talked about it in this past fall when those two teams played again, another lopsided game. And should this game continue? Well, it looks like the game is not going to continue, at least for 2024. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have to do a little Super Bowl preview and also we have to look back at some horrible decisions that were made in the NFC Championship game that has made the Super Bowl horrible for me.
Hear, hear.
Yep. And then, so anyway, we'll get to all this and maybe something more. I don't know. But we're going to go back to Steve Pine. And I'm going to come back with Steve Pine. I have a personal connection. We've known each other for decades. But Tony, you're kind of the outside looking in as a Vancouver School District employee. But what are your thoughts on on Clark County getting a five-time state champion football coach?
Well, my first, do Central Catholic and Union players get 30 days for the portal? That'll come up. UW needs some linemen. Yes. So we can maybe work this.
Yeah. We're going to start looking at some NIL and seeing what we can put together. Yeah.
No, but Paul, that's a, you know, Clark County football, we probably every other podcast, maybe every podcast, we talk about how deep 4A Clark County football is, and that will just add to a little bit of the mystique and competitiveness of that league.
Right.
And I think that's a win-win for Vancouver.
Kale?
Yeah, like I said, and we actually had it. It was a very good applicant pool when we came down to two finalists, and I won't unearth who the other finalist was, but we had two very, very quality finalists for that job, and you really would have been happy going with either candidate. I just, obviously, like you said, when you're talking about a five-time state champion, and Steve's a veteran coach and knows who he is as a coach and what he believes and what his program is going to stand for. And, just very excited to have that happen at Union High School.
Kale, any truth though, that you weren't sure you wanted him because, you were going to fall down the ranks of great Union football coaches?
I will gladly step a rung lower for Steve to come over and take the helm. No doubt.
It's kind of a little bit of Notre Dame heritage here now, huh?
Yeah, right. Right.
It's true. All made semifinals or finals and state titles.
I do have to say that, Steve's record, against me when I was coaching, is 1-0, and we sent Evergreen played a Central Catholic in a kickoff classic kind of deal over at PGE Park 1 year. And, the Rams got us and got us pretty good that year.
Yep. And, and I know Steve also, had the Rams play Evergreen at McKenzie Stadium once, and mm-hmm. they won on a Hail Mary. And I think that was with Tom Smythe?
It was Tom Smythe's first game at Evergreen. Yes.
So, you know, so Pine has had some success in Vancouver with
there the, was a, I don't know if it was a questionable call, but there was definitely a call, not on the Evergreen football team, but on the sideline of Evergreen High School that,
the athletic director, right? For the school district. But I'm wasn't not, you. It was way before you.
No, I was at Union High School employed there at that time. So, But I will not name names as to who that was. But, yes, that was a 15-yard penalty against the Plainsmen that really kind of influenced that outcome.
It did. Hey, speaking of Tom Smythe, it's funny because I still remember when he was hired. Now, he's a two-time state champion in Oregon and written books and gone overseas to teach his football style. He was famous.
Yeah.
He was a big, big name that came over to be a head coach in Vancouver. And I remember writing a big story on it. And I'm not going to name the coach at the time who called us to complain. He complained that, that team gets too much coverage and we don't get enough, and who cares about Tom Smythe? I didn't get that big of a story when I was hired, and I told the guy, well, have you written a book? Do you travel overseas? Have you won two state titles? And I said something like, Tom Smythe is football royalty. That's what I said. And the guy said, if you ever use that term in front of me again, we're done, or something like that. It was just really funny. And one of the rare times where a football coach and I just had a big argument about coverage and all this stuff. He was sick of the coverage of Evergreen at the time, believe it or not. So, you know, times have changed, of course.
Well, Paul, you're just, I mean, everybody, but, I think Tony will agree. Everybody says this. You're just a bully.
Yeah, I am a bully.
Potster, Paul Valencia.
But if Tom Smythe was football royalty, and that was a big deal for Southwest Washington to get an Oregon legend to come. Now you got a five-time champion. I mean, is this one of the...
And most recent.
Yes. I mean, he just won it a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So is this one of the, if not the biggest hire in... My voice keeps cracking. I'm sorry about that.
Boy.
I'm thinking back now that you asked that.
I'm talking about, like, have we had four or five-time state champion basketball coaches come to Clark County or baseball coaches?
Not that I'm off the top of my head.
To be honest with you, when I was first floated that he was interested in the job, I had to be convinced that he was actually really interested in the job because it's that big of a hire.
Right. And he knows, there's a big difference between Central Catholic and how you get players to Central Catholic at a private school is a lot different than how you get it in a public school. There's a brand new challenge, but he's ready for it. And, of course, if you read my article is on Clark County Today. He talks about, all the right stuff that a lot of coaches talk about it, but he's meant it through the years, which is he doesn't care about wins and losses until Friday nights. So he doesn't care if it's JV team or freshman team or even the youth teams, which they don't have youth teams at Central, but talking about in the future, he doesn't care if they win as long as they're developing and they're having fun, because it's all about retention. It's
right.
You got to treat the kids really well so that they want to come back. And then if you do it the right way, then they become winners on Friday nights. And that's, I liked his philosophy. When I interviewed him, and that was just reporter to coach. But I got to tell y'all, I've known the man for, I guess 1985. I was a freshman at David Douglas. He was a junior at David Douglas. And what I like to talk about, Steve, is that, you know, and it's a little mushy or whatever because we're friends, but the guy took me under his wing, and that was big for a junior and a freshman for the football program. And nowadays we have all, you know, we've talked about this before, the culture building at all these schools, mm-hmm. and how, you know, we need our older people to treat the young people nice. Well, that was happening in 1985 at David Douglas on our football program.
Are you part of the origin story?
But we were a good team. We weren't a great football team, but we were a good team. But from the coach then was all about, hey, if you're on the freshman football team, you are part of this program. And our varsity players better understand that. And Steve was like that with us as freshmen. Now, we also had the typical 80s type of relationship. If you remember the 80s high school movies. And basically, we could call each other the worst names in the world. We can give each other crap about all kinds of stuff. And we still do that. Now, that's some of the stuff won't be on the podcast.
Smoking section at lunchtime?
No, we didn't do that. We didn't smoke. But my point is that he was always that team guy. And even as a junior and even as a senior in high school, he knew he wanted to be a football coach. And so I'm really happy that, you know, he's had all the success in Oregon, and I've always liked the guy, and now he's over here. So yeah, it's going to be fun to cover my friend. But I will still,
is the origin story.
If he does call a bad timeout, I will have fun at his expense,
yes.
to his face.
And I probably will do that.
Yes, I will. But I used to joke, how come you haven't won more state titles? All you have to do is beat one team in Oregon, right? I used to tell him, you want to see if you can coach? Come into Washington where you have, 15 or 20 teams that can win the state title, not three. So
they're 6A, and Central's 6A.
Correct.
But Union's probably got more kids.
Well, I don't know what Central's enrollment count is, and they probably opt up. I mean, O'Day does, and whatnot. But as far as the public schools that they're playing, it's very similar sized competition. Right. But yeah, I mean, it is a different environment. I mean, it's... private school, public school, now each of them has their own benefits and has their own challenges.
Sure.
You know, everybody wants to look at this job and say, well, that job's better because of this. Well, yeah, but you're also not looking at what the challenges are and what the coach there is doing to overcome what those challenges are.
Hey, at Central Catholic, they have a 100-yard practice facility. Well, it's like 114 yards when you include it's like 7-yard end zones, and it's just gated off. You know, it's right in the neighborhood there, urban setting or whatever. So, yeah, over at Union, there's a lot more space for practice. There's a lot of advantages to Union too over Central Catholic. But yeah, anyway, it's like I said, it's going to be fun to see my friend over here, and he's lived in Vancouver for years. And
okay.
And here's
it's a rare move though. That's
it is rare because he's coming to a program that I think is 5-13 the last 2 years.
I don't have that record off the top of my head, but I think that is accurate.
Union has been awesome, but Union also the last 2 years it's been struggling. It's just fact. For win loss, they've been struggling. So so this is going to be a heck of a wow. And then this league. Oh my gosh, you got four coaches now in this league, and all of them have over 100 wins.
That's awesome.
Pine's over 200, and I don't know how many Kaiser has, but it's
got to be close.
It's 150, 160 at least.
Yeah.
Adams over 100,
and so is Woody.
Then Woody's over 100 when you include his stops, Mountain View and Woodland, and then the 9 or 10 years in San Diego.
Yeah, so. And he won games at Bay too.
Well,
I forgot that he was at Bay.
So it's an incredible conference of coaches. So anyway, congratulations, welcome Steve Pine to Union High School. One other thing about Steve Pine that is fun He made news in Vancouver years ago. His house got hit by lightning.
What?
So, oh, wow. So in 2019, he was on. He was on our side. He was on all the media sites because, yeah, and it caused a lot of. They were out of their house for months because it fried the entire electrical thing. They were home when it got hit too. So
wow.
So yeah. Anyway, so he's hoping to just make news.
Are you going
to
bribe him to come on the pod?
That would be fun. I'll do that. By the way, Mick Hoffman just called me. It just called me. I just rejected Mick Hoffman. So.
Get him back.
We won't get him back now. Thanks, on the podcast.
Hey, Mick, I know this is probably a day later or a few days later, but I would have answered the phone, Mick.
That's great. No, I called him before we did the podcast here because, it's a good segue because I called him to let him know that I was going to be criticizing the WIA. And as a journalist, whenever I do a column or if I do a little criticizing and stuff, I try to at least give the WIA, whoever I'm criticizing, the chance to know what I'm going to be talking about. Give them a heads up. So, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong here, but the RPI used to be used by the WIA to seed the basketball tournaments. That they just for a year or two, they used RPI only.
Mm-hmm. At one time, yes.
And there was a team that was awesome, but had gone down to California and lost a bunch of games to some great teams. So they came back and they're like seated 15th or 14th, and they blew everyone out. I think it was Foss in two-way boys basketball. And every human being knew that Foss was the best team, but they were seated 15th. But anyway, the last several years, they've done away with RPI as the only thing, right?
I would even say it's not even really a thing.
Exactly. Because now every team event in high schools, in WIA, is human seating committee.
Correct.
And they can use whatever they want. They can use, their own eyes. They can use computer rankings, RPI, whatever. And they can use film or whatever. But the WIA, though, every week still posts, here's the RPI for basketball, for boys basketball, for girls basketball. And I just think it's a disservice because there are a lot of fans out there that have no idea that the committee does not use RPI or barely
it's
looks
not
at
official,
it.
Like it's official, like Kel said.
Official.
They might use it as a one point of reference, but it is definitely not the driver of where those seeds come from.
Right. But when it's the WIAA posting it, it looks official. Does that? Could you agree? If you didn't know any better, you guys know better, I know better.
Okay.
If you were just a fan.
But it is official.
Well, it's official RPI numbers, yes.
But that's...
But I think.
So, but you're saying is that I just want to make sure.
A
I
few
understand
years
what you're
ago,
saying.
Though, the official RPI actually seeded
and
the
what you're
tournament.
Saying by them posting it, people still think this is like. So if Foss is 10 again and they're undefeated in Washington,
right?
You think that by posting it, it's like
it does lead to confusion when the brackets are released because you have some people that look at that WIA site and see that my school is number 3 RPI. But
why did I seed 9?
Why am I? Yes, exactly. And that happens every tournament.
So let's flip it around. Right now, the Camas girls basketball team that finished second in state last year and has everybody back and has not lost to a team in Washington this year. They are like something like 15th on RPI. The team that they just doubled up, beat by 35, 70 to 35, is in the top 10 in RPI. Mm-hmm. And Camas has swept that team. RPI, because Camas has so many losses because they went to Washington, D.C. and played national programs, and they went to Portland and played a major tournament with top 10 teams in the nation. So they have a lot of losses. But Camas has beat Garfield, which is one of the best teams in Washington, and they split with Clackamas, the defending champion in Oregon. Yep. Anyway, my point is that when the human beings get together in the seating room, I believe Camas is going to be a top 4 seed, probably top 2.
Should be.
Just based on last year, based on how they have everybody back. And human beings will see all of this. But there are Camas fans that are upset because every week they see their team's not even in the top 10 because the WIA only lists the top 10 on social media. So I'm asking the WIA, please do away with that or do a better job of explaining to your fans that really this is, if there's 95 things that the committee takes into account, this is like number 94.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
I would say yes. In fact, I even know in some sports and committees, they don't even use it. So I think it drums up some interest. It drums up some conversation. And
that's where I'm going with it.
And I'm sure that's why it's still being used or being published. But it isn't the deciding force. I'm getting back two or three. I think you could probably make the argument they should be seated one.
I can too.
And so this is really where you hope that the members of the seating committee are doing their due diligence and are making themselves aware of what the scenario is, and they'll make sure that they rectify that.
Right. No, I do believe the humans are going to trust me. If Camus gets anything worse than a four, I think they should be one or two. But if they get anything worse than a four and they have to go, quote, on the road at state regionals, we're going to be back here when that happens and asking some serious questions.
That's a good way to, I guess right now that would be our RPI barometer then. Let's see where Camus girls are. But I agree with Kel. I think it is more for, let's talk about RPI again. I mean, how often are we talking about the WIA, before then?
Right. Yep.
I'll ask the WIA to change whatever they send to start that discussion, change something or put a big notice that says it has nothing to do with it. But there are actual fans in Camus that were worried about this. And by the way, I can't blame them for being worried. If you didn't know,
right.
You would think it mattered.
Yeah. And, The old school coach in me is just like, then win those other games, man.
Well, I was just going to say, let's say it doesn't get fully fixed, and let's say they are a six or a seven. You want to see a team that's going to play with a chip on their shoulder?
Oh,
they,
yes.
They ain't going to be winning games by 20. They're going to be winning games by 50.
Right, exactly. Right.
But to your point, Paul, and Camus girls specifically, I know why they did what they did.
Right.
And you don't want them to be punished for that. Mm-hmm. And you feel that the RPI will do that. And let's just wait and see.
Yeah. And then I also know the RPI has been changed or tweaked every year or so. They come up with something else, because we figured out the very first year they did RPI, it was all the non-league games. And then once you went to league, nothing really changed because if you beat somebody, but you've lost to somebody, and then the strength of the schedule, it was so funny that once you got to league, basically it never changed. Your RPI maybe went up one or two or down one or two.
There was just so many problems with it, because if one, you were beholden to play the league games that you had to play. Right. So if you have a bad team in your league, well, you have to play them. And that was, so you could actually win games, but your RPI was, you were dropping an RPI because your opponents that week weren't very good. And very rarely did you see somebody really climb more to the top. It was always that if you played in not a super strong league, your RPI, it hurt you.
Right. Well, and this is still the old, not the old, well, it's the BCS stuff that college football supposedly got rid of, but now it's in another kind of format. And it definitely happens at NCAA, both women's and men's basketball tournament time.
Yep.
Just this, like the Ken Pomeroy rankings and whatever that other new one they do,
Right. But at least, what's interesting about that, in college basketball, they actually select who goes, just like college football.
Right.
At least in Washington, you still have to earn your way to state through your district tournaments or by district tournaments. You get to state, and then it's, once you get to state is when the committee seeds you. So at least teams still have to earn their way to state. You're not just, here, you.
But there's a new measurable that they're using for NCAA basketball, and I think they called it tiers. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's tier,
like a tier one win, a tier two win. And the funny thing about that is, okay, yeah, we had a tier one win this week, but because we beat that team, then it was a tier one win. Now it's a tier two win because they lost and they dropped a tier.
Right.
So, I don't know what the perfect system is, to be honest with you. The perfect system is you, as Tony just said, you settle it on the court. That's ultimately where it has to happen.
Yeah. And if Camus qualifies for state, which obviously they're expected to do, then
you got to win four games.
Yep. You just got to win all your games. So, cool. All right. Hey, now we'll switch to football again. We'll go back to high school football. We noticed yesterday, I saw Columbia River High School released its football schedule. And Tony, you were former Columbia River AD, no longer the AD there, but you've got river blood.
I do.
Did you? What did you notice from that schedule, Tony?
Yeah, the big news that I had heard a little bit prior before the official announcement, but neighborhood rival Skyview, the big 4A football program, is off the schedule.
Right.
First time since 97 that they will not play.
Wow. Kale, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, we've beat this dead horse on this podcast, and not the Skyview River matchup itself, but just why do certain games get played when that matchup becomes poor? And I haven't talked to anybody from Vancouver as to why it happened, but I'm guessing it's because it really hasn't, it hasn't been a game for quite some time. And other than some tradition and some financial reasons, there's not a whole lot of intrigue in that game.
As I said, the last time Columbia River won, it made national news, and that's true because it was the funky play. But but you know, when we talked about it in the fall, though, we had to be fair because I came out with that opinion that this game does not need to be played. You guys, as the administrators, understood why it was played. Obviously, it brings in a lot of money, but that's a big deal. I mean, that's a huge gate those two teams play. And in all sports, it brings more people than your normal game. So that was a big one. And then tradition or whatever, you know. But I just thought the games were so out of reach lately. It's just you know, and reminded of Camas and Washougal haven't played each other in, you know, 20 years maybe. I don't know. It's been early 2000.
Yeah.
And that's 2A versus 4A. You know.
And that's what I was going to say. And Kel did a good job when we talked about this. You know, right at the end of right after Skyview and River played, so in the middle of the football season, which was the two classification difference in Washington is really big.
Yep.
And again, I, you know, when Skyview opened, River was still 4A.
Yeah.
Right? And then it just, demographics.
Yep.
That's what happened over the last quarter of a century. It's just... the neighborhood and the boundaries have changed, and
there are very few situations where 2A versus 4A football is good for both teams. I mean, really, Tumwater is a program that will do that.
They'll play anybody,
And really because they have to, because it's the people don't want to play them. So that, you know,
Archbishop used to.
Yep. You know, but I did find it. You know, so River kept playing that game, and there was a time here in Clark County where Hawkinson was. I mean, they could have been playing some of our 4A teams and they would have been able to compete. But even then, those games didn't happen for various reasons. Sure. And, you know, a lot of times from a 4A school, I think we talked about this before when we talked about it, it's kind of a no-win proposition for the 4A because if you beat the 2A, well, you beat up on a 2A and you're supposed to do that. And if you lose that game, you lost to a school that's two classifications below you. So there's not a ton of incentive to play those games.
Yep, but I also want to bring up what you guys brought up in the fall is that scheduling. It is so difficult to schedule football games in Southwest Washington, especially for the 4A JSHL teams.
Yep.
Four teams, three league games. That means six non-league games. And that was always one you could count on. And that's the unintended consequence of stopping this game because I understand Skyview and all the 4A GSHL teams still have open dates. Is that correct, Kale?
Yeah. I mean, people are working to fill their schedules, but the big challenge now for the 4As is it was great that we were able to get Shelton into the league, but that booked up all of our 3As now weeks 5 through 9, and the 4As need games 5 and 6.
Oh, just a reminder that Shelton is a 3A football
team. Yes. So where we could work some crossover matchups weeks 5 and 6, because there was going to be a bye in the 3A schedule, there's no longer a bye those weeks. So now that has created a challenge in hunting those games. Our 4A programs are really having to work to do that.
So let me preface this question. I should have asked you this before, but I just thought of this now. Would you go back to the early, mid-80s and just do... we're going to play the two leagues, but only one counts.
So we did talk about that, it was quickly swept off the table because I think nobody really wants to do that anymore.
Talking about a combined league?
No.
Skyview Union play twice. Skyview.
Actually,
at that time,
I do so remember.
It was the 3As.
It was in the archives.
But I think both those games counted.
And then I have to check. I thought there was a time I thought only one counted.
So, well, there was a time where we got away from doing it, and some programs continued to play twice. And so you would play the first game like Evergreen Mountain View.
Yes.
They would play week 9, but they also played week 1, and week 1 was a non-league, non-counter.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
But schools were doing that. I don't know if Fortin
Bay. Battleground Prairie did that.
Yeah. And you want to talk about, one, it was for scheduling ease, but two,
the gates.
And both schools get a big, you get it, whether you get it week 9 or week 1, you get it.
The only reason why I bring that up, and this is just, I'm thinking scheduling logistics, right? Uh-huh. Which you're in the middle of now, because I'm just thinking both Evergreen and Vancouver School District has had the big budget issues, right?
Yeah.
And so let's say, for argument's sake, Skyview, mm-hmm. Coeur d'Alene's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, I mean, they might be able to afford out of boosters and get some help that way. But do you want to start using boosters to fill a schedule when you could go hey, Camas, we're going to play weeks 2 and 7.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, because
now coaches might not like it, but is there a fan out there who wouldn't want to see Camas Skyview twice a year?
No, that's why they would make a bunch of money because people would show up, and then that second game there's more intrigue in it because they already played once.
Right, and this is the league one,
Yeah, so it's a.
I know I think there are some coaches that would do it though.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you. When I was coaching, I would have had no desire to play Skyview and Camas twice. It's hard enough playing them once. But.
So would you rather then, as a coach, would you rather then play 7 or 8 games if you just can't find another non-league game? Because that's a potential. Yeah. That could happen this year, right?
Yeah, no, theoretically it could.
The bye week?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on where it fell. I know I don't want a week 2 bye. But if I can't find a game week 6 leading into league play, it's not the worst thing in the world. Except you're taking experiences away from kids.
That's the thing. I always tell people that in almost every other sport, you play everybody twice, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever. But in football,
the precedent is there for 2 league games.
Only 9.
Oh, 100%.
There's only 9 games.
Football is always a different beast. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, again, I'm just thinking big picture and budget wise.
Yeah, yeah. No, and after these 2 years, because we'll work the schedule, if everybody's hoping by that point in time, budgetary things have made a turn for the better for a various number of reasons that could happen.
Our state does what they're.
That's definitely one of them. But if it doesn't, I think we will have to have those conversations. And quite frankly, we might be given edicts that tell us we have to do it because superintendents are going to have to, they're going to be looking at budgets and be like, if we're still in the same situation, I mean, you guys have no choice. There's another piece that goes into that a little bit, Paul. There's the reality of where that money comes from, and then there's the perception of where that money comes from, and the same people who might be just looking at RPI not realizing that it's a real measuring point. They just look, Skyview's driving all the way to Coeur d'Alene. The Vancouver Public Schools is paying for that.
Well, and that's what people automatically think.
Oh,
right?
They do. Yeah. No, you're right. And it's hard to, yeah.
Why would I vote?
For argument's sake. I don't know what Skyview's looking. But
right.
Teams have done that.
Yeah.
To get that big league, non-league game.
Yeah. Bottom line is, as far as the Skyview-Columbia River game, I think it had run its course. But unfortunately, we don't have a solution to an unintended consequence of. Because in a perfect world, again, one of these years, everyone's just going to listen to me, Kale. we're going to do football only leagues for the whole state of Washington.
Yeah.
And if you have, I don't know, how many 4A schools are there roughly?
In the state? 64. Yeah, it's like 68. It might be 71, but yeah.
Okay, 67. So there's you do 8 team leagues. Yeah, four teams here.
Well,
so
Oregon did that, and there were lawsuits.
Oregon still kind of does that.
Right, but they do that for all of, just football. I'm talking football only because
I'd love traveling from Medford to Eugene for a Tuesday night JV game.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah, I don't want that for all sports.
We're talking about money now, right?
I'm talking about football. We're already going to Tri-Cities for non-league games. We're already going to Idaho for non-league games. Why not make it a league game? Why not make it a league game with the 4 teams from Tri-Cities and our 4? it can work. And if you just do it for football only, and it's, let's face it, football also brings in the most, well, I don't know about the most money, but
I thought it was.
The stadiums are bigger than the gym, so
but you know, it also costs a lot more money to put on football.
True. So, yes, so that is, well, yeah, so the gross is definitely higher. The net, not so much.
Right, so that's what I meant by, yeah. Equipment and insurance, all that stuff. Yeah. But one of these days they'll listen to me, Kale.
That's not a bad
idea, what's your moniker? Is it's a curse because you're never wrong?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
It is not a blessing being right all the time.
Yes.
It's a curse. Yes. Ask my wife. It's Super Bowl weekend. Well, hopefully you guys will listen to this on Friday before Super Bowl, but if you listen to this on Monday, you can laugh at our predictions or whatever.
That's true. So, it's true.
Super Bowl weekend, dreadful, dreadful, dreadful matchup for me and you, Tony.
Yeah.
Raider fans do not like this at all.
Hate the Chiefs, hate the regional, traditional rival and the Niners. And
So I'm not rooting for any team to win. I am hoping that the Chiefs lose.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I've...
Is that how you have worded that?
Yes. Okay. And if it wasn't in our stadium, I would root for a flood or something. But it is in our stadium.
What I think is funny about this, I saw something. I meant to actually text this to you on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
There were, I always pronounce his name, the Athletic Raiders writer, Vic Tafer.
Yeah. Okay.
Super, always very active on Twitter.
Right.
But he responded to somebody, a Raider fan, that they were mad that the Chiefs were going to be in the home locker room.
Right.
And I'm just like, this is where...
No.
We're not only in the home locker room, they're in the Raiders facility all week.
Yeah, yes. And they put a bunch of Chiefs stuff up there. But you know what?
Come on.
It is
Make the Super Bowl, then let's worry
it is an honor to host the Super Bowl. Any NFL team would want to do that. And some teams can't do it because with weather. I mean, they did it in New Jersey once, and they got lucky because it wasn't horrible. It was cold.
It was cold, but I think the day after the game, though, it snowed.
Right.
No.
And but the other northern cities are usually domes, so Seattle's probably never going to host a Super Bowl.
They won't.
Probably not.
They won't.
I don't see that either.
But it is still, it's a big thing for the organization, for the Raiders organization. And you don't know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. So I am not one of those guys that's like mad that the Chiefs are in my building.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just want to.
Which just sounds like it sounds like it's a lot better than being at UNLV though. Sounds like the surface there, the as I like to call them, the 40 whiners. They're doing a lot of whining this week.
My goodness, the whiners love to have excuses built up in case they don't win. You know that's
just
been,
laying it out there.
That's what they've been doing for. Wow, yeah. So
preemptive.
This matchup is horrible. This matchup is also what started the pandemic 4 years ago.
It's true.
So let's just. I'm ready for.
Maybe this will end all the bad.
That's an optimistic point of view, and I'm usually positive, Paul. I'm assuming the world is ending.
Dang, Paul.
Years ago, we allowed this matchup to happen.
Live it up this weekend. Is that what you're saying?
Have an extra wing, Paul.
I am not happy with this matchup at all. It's funny. So you guys all know, we've talked about it. I was nominated Fan of the Year for the Raiders, and I had a 1 in 8 chance of winning Super Bowl tickets. If I had won, I would have gone because it would have been disrespectful to the people who voted for me if I didn't go. But it was only Super Bowl tickets. It wasn't travel and it wasn't hotel. So I looked it all up, and it was going to cost me $3,000 or $4,000 to go. Which is still the cheapest you'd ever go to a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd have the tickets for free. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful now that it's the Chiefs and Niners that I did not win those Super Bowl tickets. I could not imagine
paying. You just would have booed all game. It didn't matter if anybody did boo.
Boo, boo, boo. Yeah, exactly. Usher might be pretty cool. It'd be kind of cool to see Usher, I guess, a little. I'm also one of those guys that thinks they should just replay Prince's halftime show for every halftime show for the rest of the world. And
singing Purple Rain in the rain.
Yes, I watched that the other day. So, all right. So how do we get here, Kale? How do we get to this dreadful? Because it's dreadful for you, too. Oh. A Seahawks fan. Okay, Tony and I, we want the Chiefs to lose. Kale, you need, what do you need? You need the 49ers to
lose badly.
Yep. And I respect it. I get it because you're a Seahawks guy. So you never want the 49ers to win. So, from your you heard me and my Raiders and Tony and our Raiders. What about you?
Same thing.
Oh, no. Yeah. I, so I learned this year because when the Niners played the Cowboys, right? And I also loathe the Dallas Cowboys. And it was going to be a benefit for the Cowboys to win. So that's the one team that is, I couldn't do it. I could not root for Dallas at all. next to that, the 49ers, just can't stand them, and they need to lose. And really, it's the same reason you want the Chiefs to lose is you wouldn't mind a front office then kind of panicking and making some moves that they might not make if they win the Super Bowl. Right. So
maybe that'll make them complacent, hey, though.
That's true too. But they also say the team that loses a Super Bowl, I mean, they historically they struggle mightily the next year. So Raiders there's also that
21 season.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I still remember when the Broncos lost to your Seahawks, and the only problem with that game, it was too close. People said that was a terrible game. No, it was awesome. The Broncos got embarrassed, and I want them to. Yes. I just wish Seattle had scored more.
So yes,
that's the only difference. But we got to this because the Detroit Lions. You're a former head coach. I know you're not at the same level, but you're a head coach, Cale.
Yep.
It's so different in high school. It's not automatic. Field goals aren't 80% from 45 yards or whatever. So it's different. But still, what was he thinking?
I don't know. To me, and I know we were having some fun banter during that game, but one thing I always, when I was coaching, and I said this to you guys in that text thread, was I didn't ever want to lose the game for my team based off a decision. And I know the Lions have been aggressive all year, and they've gone for it on fourth down more than anybody in the league, I think. But, man, when you have an opportunity to go up by three scores – the Niners have to score three times, and not only do you by choosing not to kick the field goal, which he still could have scored a touchdown, which would have definitely been a huge momentum swing for you. You miss a field goal, so now the Niners, you just gave them even more momentum, and it just felt like it slid away from that. That was the first one that I felt was inconscionable. The second one, I'm like, come on. No, it's
worse. I'm gonna tell you why it's worse. But Tony, you kind of defended the Lions a little bit in our text, but
right, so only to the
second. I want to get
and Kel mentioned it, but here's my qualifier. Campbell has called that all year. You're right. It's not 100% field goal. He wants, we're going to score the touchdown. Let's go for it. We're going to take 3 or 4 minutes off the clock. I've been aggressive for 19 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever. But it's to get to the Super Bowl. Yeah. The good coach has these, you're able to pivot and understand the game at that time. I get, we're going to always do it. But, and I think Kel's alluding to this, you're doing a disservice to the team.
Correct.
You have to go up three scores. Yeah. You just have to.
I think, the mantra that, this is just how we play, I think that's lazy.
Yes.
Because you aren't able, that's why you are the head coach. You don't always play, no head coach always plays the same way. You have to look at the situation that you're in, decipher what's going on, and determine what is, at that point in time, the best thing for your team. Now, it's also possible that Dan Campbell had absolutely zero faith in his defense and knew that there was no way they were going to stop the Niners, so he goes, I got to get as many points as I can.
I get that too.
But they had stopped the 49ers from time to time. I'm like, and they still have to score three times, and it's not like you're not going to get the ball back.
This is why I get so mad at it. And I tweeted this out on the day it happened, is that you can appreciate all that Dan Campbell has done for the Lions and brought them to the Final Four, but you can also wonder if those were the two worst decisions or among the worst decisions in championship game history. So the first one, the Niners come out at halftime down 17. They have to score. They have to get some momentum. You still hold them to a field goal.
Yep.
And then you go down and you have a chance to match that field goal. If you kick the field goal there, the Niners deflate because, oh my God, we're starting again. Down 17.
Yes. You held serve.
With 8 minutes gone from the eight less minutes to get back. So that's one. The next one is the worst one. You just talked about the defense. By that time, the Lions defense couldn't stop the Niners. So you had a chance to tie the game. So then if the Niners do go to a score, you still have time, your offense to reply, mm-hmm. and get it to overtime. Instead, you don't kick the field goal. You don't tie the game. The Niners score a touchdown. You're down by 10. So I think because of the context, they were horrible decisions.
And
because of him, I have to flip and root for the Niners this week, and I'm pissed.
There was a third decision that was also terrible. Yes. So when they scored their last the touchdown, when the Lions did, and but they were still down three at that time, I think it was, or whatever it was, but they used they had three timeouts. They used a timeout because they ran the ball
on third down.
Yes, and so now they have to onside kick, which with the new onside kick rules is the lowest percentage play. Right. I mean, you're better off throwing a 99-yard bomb than you are trying to onside kick. Whereas if they had saved that timeout, they could have kicked deep. They would have had their three timeouts and been able to get the ball back.
And I'm one of those guys that I'd kick the onside kick anyway because you give yourself another chance at the ball.
True.
But then you still have your timeouts. Because the Niners are going to go conservative mode because that's what, that's what
right.
Do. Anyway,
I'm just thankful. So I was the Seahawks and they did that, I would my tone right now would be completely different. I would still be so angry. It would have been unbelievable.
I agree.
I mean, almost as inconscionable as throwing the ball on first down from the 1 yard line on an inside slant to your number five receiver. Ouch. With the Super Bowl on the line. See, I've gotten over that. I'm really over that play.
I forgot about that, actually.
I thought it was second down, wasn't it? No, I don't know. I have no idea.
And the worst part about that was when Pete tried to explain it because of the timeout situation, he's basically like, we basically waste that down. Yeah. And I'm like,
what?
You wasted a down? I'm not into wasting downs.
Yeah, and if you are going to throw the fade so that it's going out of bounds or your guy catches it.
Yeah.
A slant. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That was just, no. But well, still,
according to Pete, that's the look they wanted.
That's the look.
And then I'm just like, well, then they baited you into throwing
they
that.
They did, yeah. I'm nothing against Ricardo Lockett, but I ain't going there.
Okay, Tony. We'll go Tony first, and then we'll go Kale and then me. So, hopefully Raiders, get two of these three things.
I'm a closet Swiftie, Chiefs by 10.
I was gonna say, we'll get to that. Your favorite Super Bowl moment.
Oh, thank you. Jack Squirek. Jack Squirek, Super Bowl 18, right before half. Joe Theismann wants to throw the screen pass to Joe Washington, which they threw in week three.
Yep.
That Joe Washington ran for probably 91 yards.
Yeah.
Killed the Raiders. That's when. So this was a rematch of an AFC NFC crossover game.
Yep.
Raiders versus Redskins, and one of my favorite Raiders lore is I just forgot the name of the DC, but he recognized the formation.
Sumner. Something.
Yeah, and he called Squirek to get in because he was a little bit quicker.
Yep.
And Squirek read it and picked it off, and that was game for all intents and purposes. Yeah,
that, by the way, speaking of dumb decisions, there was like 7 seconds left in the half, and the Redskins just needed to take a knee because it was 14-3 at the time. So the game's still possible. So thank you, Joe Gibbs, for calling that play.
I have that autographed by Jack Squirek.
That's great. Kale, what's your favorite Super Bowl moment?
Omaha, and the ball snapped over my head, and we're up 2-0 to start the game, and then Percy Harvin returning the opening kickoff of the second half, and it was. I was in Las Vegas for that game with friends, and we were at a cabana out by the pool. Not pool weather by any stretch of the imagination, but that was a lot of fun.
I bet. I hope you bet $100 on a safety in that game.
So. I didn't. I did not have that bet. But
who scores first?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then for me, Jack Squirek's a big one for me. I also love Old Man Willie because I wear a Willie Brown jersey at least twice a year, and they always show that in front of in pregame during the Raider games. So I get to stand up and go, "Old Man Willie, he's going all the way." So I love that one, and then I really love Jim Plunkett to Kenny King for 80 yards against the Eagles in Super Bowl 15. So having an absolute favorite, Marcus Allen running through the night.
Mm-hmm. Because that's 1A and 1B, but Squirek for me.
And it's funny here. It's sad because we don't have too many Super Bowl memories.
There's three wins.
In recent history.
But 1983 doesn't count.
that we just detailed these plays and they were yesterday. Yes. And but anyway, that's fun. Okay, now. So from our favorite Super Bowl moments to this Super Bowl, which will be, again, no matter what happens, it's one of the worst Super Bowls ever. So that's how I look at it.
Since Super Bowl 54.
But Taylor Swift effect. I know we're talking a long time today and we're having fun. But the Taylor Swift effect or whatever, do you guys have any thoughts, opinions on it? I have a good one, but I'll wait till you guys. Tony?
I don't think they show her that much. I think it's funny now. I remember growing up in Showtime Lakers, Nicholson was shown like at every timeout.
Great example.
Jack, every timeout.
The Knicks and Spike Lee.
Oh, I mean, right? And it's just
Yes.
No, just, I have no problem with her being shown.
I don't have a problem with it either. And I also think she's just a genuine new fan of football. She talked about it. And they look like they're having a blast.
Always.
Now, when you see John Bon Jovi, didn't he go to a bunch of Patriots game? And
there was something. Yeah,
he's always up in the owner's box there, and they all look like they might as well have champagne. And
Jason Kelce was in the box with them against Buffalo.
At least Taylor Swift, they're having fun. They look like real fans.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
And the other thing is that I was talking about, I was trying to explain this to my daughter. If you think of the most famous person in our lifetime, the most famous celebrity, I'm going to go with like Michael Jackson.
Pretty close.
Okay, probably at the height.
Yes. Sure.
Maybe Elvis before then, Michael Jackson. But I'm trying to think, Eddie Murphy had a great peak as an actor and comedian.
But Michael's
probably number one in our lifetime.
Madonna.
Madonna was good. Madonna is great, but I'm talking about at her peak.
Yeah.
But none of them were peak during social media.
Correct.
And with Taylor Swift, with social media, with her recent stadium tour and her business, her brilliance. She's a genius with business. She might be, when you consider with social media and culture, might be one of the hottest pop or culture icons of all time right now.
Yes.
All time.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's coming to an NFL game. I think you're a fool if you are a TV exec and you don't show her a few times.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody's doing all the metrics right now, like, it's only like 5 seconds they show her. People are pissed off that they show her.
If there are Swifties who have never watched a football game who are watching because of Taylor Swift, isn't that great for football?
Should be.
So I just...
But here's my argument back to two. I know they're showing Taylor Swift, but they would be showing Brittany Mahomes anyway.
That's true.
Right?
They
before Taylor Swift even got in that suite.
Two years ago, it was the Mahomes brother.
Yeah.
I was like,
I mean, we see celebrities at all kinds of sporting events. It just happens to be, and credit to her because she's a great business person, but Taylor Swift is number one right now as far as culture celebrity.
Yeah.
And hey, as a football fan, I'm grateful she's watching football and not taking shots at football. You know?
I think it's just funny that Jason Kelce tweeted at her and then eventually got the date. Right. And now kind of a
Travis.
Travis. I mean, that's Travis. What I meant.
You threw me off there.
Travis Kelce.
We just started a scandal.
Yeah. Sorry, Jason and Travis, if you listen.
Sorry, Jason's wife.
Yes. But anyways, when Travis.
Yeah.
No, people were just like, aha, you know, your shot, dude.
And by the way, everyone who has ever heard me, you know I hate the Chiefs. It's sports hate. I don't really hate these people. Patrick Mahomes seems like a good person. And let's face it, I'm envious. My God, he's incredible. I wish he was on my team. And Travis Kelce is the best tight end I think who's ever played in the game. And there's a lot of great tight ends.
Dave Casper?
No, yeah. Hey, Todd Christensen's peak was incredible, but I can go into that. But my point is that
you're not giving Mike Tyson any love?
No, I'm not giving Mike Tyson any love. But it is funny. How about the Chiefs? They got Tony Gonzalez and Kelce. That might be two of the top five of all time.
Good point. I forgot about Tony G.
And Kellen Winslow might have something to say about
that. He's good, too.
But a different time.
But anyway, so I guess we go back. We can remind folks that postseason for high school sports is really just starting. We got district basketball, bi-district starting this weekend. We got state wrestling. Bowling was already completed. Bowling always goes so early. Is that scheduling for bowling centers?
Yes.
I have no idea.
I don't either. You
know, but, Fort got second in state. Oh, shout out, sweet. Lady Trappers.
Go Trappers.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Yep. And then of course, we got wrestling. Wrestling, gymnastics, and basketball, boys and girls basketball will be in the next month. So we'll get together once or twice before then, and then we'll see. We'll celebrate the teams that do the best. So do you guys have anything to add, Tony?
No. Go Kale? Super Bowl.
No, yeah. Have some fun this weekend. Enjoy the game, and hope both teams lose.
Yeah, I do too. Go Raiders. Take care, everybody.